Hello, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Jesse Duplantis.
And I'm Kathy Duplantis.
Thank you for tuning into our boardroom chat. And I want to start off with an announcement. I like to do my own sound effects. Visionary Conference is coming in just about a month.
Oh, wow.
And I want you to come. It's Thursday, July the 11th at 7 p.m., Friday morning at July the 12th at 10 a.m., and then Friday night at 7 p.m. It's only actually 2 days,
three services.
Registration is absolutely free. Admission's free. If you want to know more about the information, you go to jdm.org. And I tell you, we'll be blessed. People come from all over the world, Kathy.
Yes, and it's right here at our ministry headquarters, right here in Destrehan, Louisiana.
International headquarters, and people just love it.
Yeah.
And I'll be talking about vision, the biggest word in God's vocabulary.
Wow.
Vision encapsulates salvation. It encapsulates healing. It encapsulates everything. Mm. Because without the vision, people perish.
That's true.
Let me say it again. Thursday, July the 11th at 7 p.m., Friday morning at 10 a.m., July the 12th, and at 7 p.m., July the 12th, Friday night. Registration and admission are absolutely free. So if you want to know more information, go to jdm.org. I tell you what, Kathy, every year we've been doing this, we never thought they could get better. They just kept getting better.
Each year.
God shows up and shows out. We pray for people that fall out all over the place. People that come that don't even believe this kind of stuff gets touched by God Almighty.
Visions get ignited. So if you need to get your vision to be stirred up, this is the place to be. And you know what, Jesse? There's some people who can't come, so we make sure that it's broadcast live on all our platforms.
Right.
So people will be able to watch it and get blessed.
But we want you to come.
Yeah.
At least once in your life, you got to come and experience it. Because there's something about being in that building.
That's so true.
And I know it's jam-packed and tight, but it doesn't make any difference.
Right.
Before you were saved, how many times you got on a dance floor and you could barely dance, you know, because there were so many people, you know, that's all right. That didn't stop you from going. This Visionary Conference is not about Jesse Duplantis Ministries' vision. It's about the vision for the body of Christ.
And your vision as well.
And what did God call you to do?
Amen.
What is your destiny? What is your destination? One more time, July the 11th, Thursday at 7 p.m., Friday morning at 10 a.m., July the 12th, and Friday night, July the 12th at 7 p.m.
Yeah.
And I like to say this, registration and admission are free.
Yeah.
As long as me and Kathy are headed this message, we don't charge for people to come. We just simply
never have, never will.
Yeah, never have. We just want people to come, and you'll be blessed. Go to jdm.org for more information, and you can just be blessed.
Yeah, that'll give you like the address, maybe directions and things.
We're actually about 6 to 8 miles from Armstrong International Airport. I mean, it's really got a lot of hotels here. Now, I know it's going to be hot, and the reason why we put it in July, there's so many festivals in, New Orleans because it's such a cultural city. And so the hotel rooms are a little cheaper. Because it's hot, but
not just cheaper; they're available.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's
and
hard to get that.
We got air conditioning. We got some big air conditioning, so you'll be cool. You'll be blessed by it. So I hope you can come. I'm telling you, you will be touched by the Lord Jesus Christ.
I know that.
Well, Kathy, how you been doing? You're doing all right?
I'm great. This is number 217.
How great are you? You said you're great.
I'm great. I'm doing good. I'm looking forward because this Sunday is Father's Day, you know.
Oh, yeah, Father's Day.
You'll be preaching at the church.
Hallelujah.
You promised you would. You better show up.
I better show up.
I've been advertising it.
Yes, and hallelujah. So if you're thinking about going to church, give coming to church a shot. Yeah, just come one time. I think you'll enjoy it.
Yeah, and all you fathers out there, you know, it's going to be hard for kids to turn you down. They say, what do you want for Father's Day? Say, I want all my family in church this Sunday together as one family. I think that's a great Father's Day.
Oh, it's a blessing of the Lord. I want to talk about something that the secular world does not understand at all. Zero.
There's lots of things like that.
Yeah, but this is the number one because they always say it.
Okay.
How come people give money to the church? How come do people give to ministers and ministries and things of that nature? You know, and how come are they able to do it? I mean, my Lord, it seemed like they would run out of money, but they do that. We're going to talk about that today. And Kathy, I want you to go to Proverbs chapter 11. And I want you to read in the Passion Translation first.
Okay.
Verse 24. We're going to simplify it. In the Passion Translation, we'll go to the King James and all the others. But the Passion Translation really explains this. And that's Proverbs chapter 11, verse 24.
Verse
read it, Kathy.
Verse 24, it says, generosity brings prosperity, but withholding from charity brings poverty.
Think about that. Generosity brings prosperity. Withholding it causes all kind of trouble in your life. Look what it says in the King James. It says it like this. There is that scattereth and yet increaseth. And there is that withholdeth more than is meet, but it tendeth to poverty.
You know, the next verse really connects with that. So
go ahead.
Good. In the Passion Translation, verse 25 says, those who live to bless others will have blessings heaped upon them. And the one who pours out his life to pour out blessings will be saturated with favor.
Isn't that a blessing?
Saturated.
Think about that. You know, you've heard me say this many, many times, that the anointing of increase is on me. It really is. And I'm a giver. But I don't let people take advantage of me in any way, shape, or form. I learned that from Jesus Christ. You know, he fed the 5,000, he fed the 4,000, then he quit. He didn't do it all the time. He said, you follow me for the fish and the loaves. In other words, I don't mind being a blessing to you, but I'm not going to do that for you just to come to get something to eat and won't be a part of what God is doing. So think about that. When you give to God's work, when you give out of your heart, God said, I'll bless you more.
Amen.
I'll bless you more than you can possibly ask or think.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And it's all done through this. And a lot, this is what the secular world can't understand. I've had people say, I can't believe them people give that preacher or give that church that money. Well, you know what happened? Well, watch what they're doing. They're getting blessed in the city, blessed in the field, blessed going in, and blessed going out. You know, and you know, let me tell you something about a church or a ministry. It's not free. It's free to come to church. At least in some churches, some are charging to walk through anything. Our church is free, but we receive an offering. And that's because if you want to, you don't, there's nobody standing over you to ask you to beat your brains out if you're not giving. Nuh-uh. We don't do that. But you see, what happens, we teach that what you sow, you will reap.
Amen.
Whether it's good or whether it's bad. The Bible says, be not deceived. God's not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. So me and you are givers. And, you know, and I don't mind when Kathy gives, and she gives and just lets me know later on what she did and things of that nature. And it's a blessing of the Lord. And, you know, in 48 years of full-time ministry, we've never had a financial deficit. You know why? We've been generous all 48 years. We've been giving all 48 years.
Yeah.
We've been tithing all 48 years. We've been giving over and above giving all 48 years. Guess what? Our bank accounts are full. Oh, no, that's going to make somebody mad. They are. I live in a beautiful home. Kathy drives a beautiful car, and I fly a beautiful jet. Oh, that's going to make some people mad.
Headquarters and TV studio.
It's all paid for. Lock, stock, and barrel. Well, why do you have to have a jet? Why do you have to have a car? You got to get where you're going, right? I got to get where I'm going. If you understood what I did, it's amazing. I flew all the way to Australia a few weeks back and never charged a person a dime. I gave no expenses whatsoever, flew 60 hours, crossed that continent twice to preach this glorious gospel. You know why? Because people were worth it. And you know, God blessed us and honored us. And it was all paid for. And people getting blessed, the 30, the 60, the 100-fold,
right,
the 1,000-time return. That's why he says here in verse 24 of Proverbs 11, there is that scattereth and yet increaseth, and there is that withholdeth more than is meat, but it tendeth to poverty. I'm going to say something, and I really mean this. Poverty is a curse. The world has adopted and embraced poverty as a blessing. Well, if it's so wonderful, how come you're trying to get out? How come you don't want to have anything to do with that? That was one of the reasons I never wanted to be a Christian. Why? So I can just suffer all the time and be poor in this? Well, Jesus was poor. I'd like to know when you thought he was poor. He fed the 5,000. He fed the 4,000. In his whole ministry, he had 12 full-time staff, 70 part-time. He never had a financial deficit. He wore a seamless robe, and it was good enough to gamble for it. Think about that. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus was not poor. That is a religious lie. He helped the poor to get them out of poverty. Now, when you go to heaven, I'm going to prove that to you. When you walk into heaven, you're not going to walk into desolation and poverty. You're going to walk into my Father's house are many mansions. You're going to walk into gold streets. You're going to see diamond, beryl, jasper, onyx, ruby everywhere. Garden like you've never seen, green like you've never seen, the most wonderful place, very, very rich looking, and he ain't changing any of that. So if that's all bad, why did God make heaven like that? No, you don't fall in love with it, because you see, you're so much in love with God that nothing else fits. See what I'm saying? So when God says you sow, my God, I will bless you and minister life to you. We taught that to Jody growing up, you know. We taught that to Meredith, and Jody's taught that to our granddaughter. We just love, I never forget one time she was in, third, fourth grade or something like that. And the school helped me out on that. They were picking up something and they wanted them to give a few pennies or something.
Meredith, from Meredith.
Yeah, tell the people that.
Well, they were taking up, it was like a penny drive. To help do something. I forget what the need was. And Meredith had too much money, and Jody didn't realize she had $60 in her backpack.
$60.
So that she gave all of it. Or she gave $20, was it?
I think she gave it all. I'm not sure.
I think she gave it all, but the teacher said, oh, that's too much, Meredith. You can't do it. So she called her mother and told her about that. And so Meredith said, no, I want to give. And so she gave her an opportunity to take some of it back. Meredith said, no, I just want to be a blessing.
And Meredith's blessed today, not because I'm her grandfather, because
she has a generous heart.
Generous heart, and she's given.
Right.
And guess what? She's receiving. You see, it's amazing to me how people they've adopted the act of God to give, but they have not adopted the act of God to receive.
That's right.
To receive what God wants. You see what I'm saying? And that's what this scripture is about. I want you to read that same scripture in the Amplified, if you don't mind.
Okay.
Proverbs chapter 11, verse 24.
Okay.
Read that.
Let me go
and
there.
I want you to get that, because I want to break it down so you can't misunderstand it. For you that wonder why, you think these Christian people are stupid? No, they're not. They're not at all. And they're being blessed in the city, blessed in the field, blessed going in and blessed going out. No one has ever been reduced to poverty by their giving. Think about that for a minute. And when you allow that to happen, it's God's word. Read that again, Kathy.
In the Amplified, this is Proverbs 11, 24, Anne-Marie 25 as well. It says, there are those who generously scatter abroad and yet increase more. There are those who withhold more than is fitting or what is justly due, but it results only in want.
Can
we do the next verse?
Yeah, go ahead if you like.
It says, because it connects with it so well. The liberal person shall be enriched, and he who scatters shall himself be watered. So that's
praise
the kingdom principle.
Yes,
give and it shall be given unto you. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over, the Bible tells us.
You know, I have been wrongly criticized because of the airplanes that I fly. But what y'all don't know is I've given away two of them. Both of them multi-million dollar jets. And I gave one, and that one of those jets is flying all over the world to create churches. Oh, the media didn't tell you that, did they? Huh. Uh-huh. That's correct. I could have sold it for millions of dollars. But the Lord spoke to me, said the value of a seed is far greater than the value of a sale. Now, that doesn't mean you don't sell stuff. You don't take that to an extreme. No, but what happens if you sell something, that's all you're ever going to get is what you sold it for. But if you sow seed, the Bible says you scatter it tends to blessing. See, then you can receive what Mark 4 says, the 30, the 60, the 100-fold. The 1,000-time return. My God, do you understand how much that's out there that God wants to bless you with? And that's why me and Kathy are generous. I'm talking to the people that don't go to church, that happen to just come by. That's why we do what we do, and we're blessed for it. And because God says, I want to be a blessing. I don't know how many dinners and lunches I've purchased and paid for people I didn't even know. How many waitresses that I actually helped them pay for their tuition in college and didn't even know, but the Lord said, do that. How many people's rents we paid for eating lunch? Not bragging about that. People say, you're bragging. I could brag more with that money in my pocket than in someone else's. Do you understand what I'm saying? And me and Kathy have been debt-free since 1982. We blessed, and I can say then she don't mind me say, Kathy wants to go buy something, she can go buy what she wants. You know, I find her giving all the time. You know, I mean, it's just amazing. It's wonderful. And our church, coming to church, which she's the pastor of, are giving people, they love the Lord with all their heart. And they're believing God for the 30, the 60, the 100-fold, the 1,000-time return. Now, some ministers just don't believe that because they're spiritually illiterate, and there are a lot of Pharisaic people that are intellectually brilliant, but have no spirit content whatsoever at all.
So true.
And see, and that's the problem. You are a spirit housed in a soul and clothed in a body. Now, that Passion Translation really tells you what it says, that God just wants to be a blessing to you. Let me read verse 25 in the Old King James. The liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself. My God, do you understand what I'm saying? In other words, God said, I'll bless you. And I've had God bless me in so many different ways, spiritually, physically, financially, in every area of my life. Now, most people only notice the financial part, but it's so wonderful to go before the Lord in prayer and not be afraid. Mm-hmm. You know why? I have peace with God. I have peace from God, and I have the peace of God.
Amen.
And that's a gift. Mm-hmm. And he says, enter into the rest. Go ahead, break in here, Kathy, if you want to.
I was just thinking about your title. When you first started, I wrote it down, how come people give money to the church? People are asking about that. I wonder, why would people who don't give care about what other people give? You know, there's a lot of people. I remember a friend of ours, a very successful man. He was a corporation president or manager. He was in the corporate world, and he was successful. And he says, when people questioned him about his giving, he says, how come you don't question my other investments? Because he considered giving to the gospel an investment, remember?
Yeah.
But, you know, it's not people. I don't think people have a big problem with giving. It's just, who do you give to? Because they make a big deal about giving to political campaigns, and they raise billions.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of money for campaigns whenever there's an election.
God.
They just, I mean, whether it's small, large, whether it's, they advertise the million-dollar giver, and they make a big deal about it, and the television people, you know,
but if somebody give $1 million to a church, they have fits.
Yeah, so it's what is valuable to you. The gospel is the most valuable thing on the planet, I believe. And so this is what the problem is. And, you know, all of those political candidates that are going from state to state, and they're doing a good work. I'm not criticizing them. I'm just trying to give us a perspective.
It costs a lot of money to do that.
You're
going
to be critical of the gospel. Because of that, why aren't you critical? Well, maybe they're critical, too, of the political campaigns, because they use an aircraft to get back and forth to where they're going.
You know, the thing I can't understand is the media, good God, they actually criticize these candidates that go out and
the amount of money they spend.
Yeah, but guess where
the
money's
majority
going
of their
to?
Spend is on them. The television commercials are so expensive.
They're not cutting their
we
rates.
We know that because we have to buy airtime.
Yeah,
as
in
well.
Any way, shape, or form. But let me tell you, some television time is very, very expensive. And yet they're going to cut someone like that. I mean, you talk about hypocritical. It's just so hypocritical. But I mean, you know, I don't mind. I think I saw a man, I believe, I may be wrong in this, but I believe he was the owner of Home Depot, or one of the owners, something
you
like that.
You need a clinic to keep
pushing
your
nose. My nose is this. I ran into some pollen a while ago, man. I mean, yellow. Yeah, thank you. And he gave, I think, $100 million to a college there in New York City. I was so glad that he did that. That's fine. But, I mean, I wonder how many people would get mad if somebody gave $100 million to my ministry. Oh, man. I don't doubt that that man's home was probably bigger than mine. Which is okay with me. Probably has his own private airplane, which is okay with me. I don't have a problem with that because he's very generous. He wants to help, you know, students though, so they don't have to pay for to get to college and things of that nature. Well, we also educate people in the spiritual realm. You're a spirit housed in a soul and clothed, in a body. And when you understand that, see, that's why people give. And I pray every day at our church that I want the whole church debt-free.
Right.
But not only debt-free, but the amount of money that they were in debt. Are you listening to me? Have that in liquid finance in some bank somewhere. You know, I always say this and people laugh. The homeless is debt-free. Come on. But how about whatever your house was worth, your car, whatever debt you had in your notes, have that all paid for. And the amount of money you were putting out every month to pay for that, have that in liquid finance somewhere. That's what God's saying. If you will sow generously, you will reap generously. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm not trying to get something from you. I'm trying to get something to you. When I ask people to give on this program, and I have, if they want to be a part, did not tell them if they don't want to be a part, then don't, you don't have to. But still watch the program. But these things cost money to do that. The electricity, the different things, the cameras it took, this table, just whatever. I wish it was free, but it's not. And that's okay, because there are people in the business of selling furniture. Now, I don't have a problem with that. So we went and bought this, you see what I'm saying? So we can have a place to speak to you about. That sign behind that, on this side, Jesse the Planner's Ministry, that costs money to put it together. The drape, and Kathy got a nice drape. See them drapes back there? That costs money to put that. That painting, that costs money. I wish it was free. Even the tumblers we buy, they cost money. And that is okay. You see what I mean? I don't mind that. So don't criticize someone that's blessing a ministry or blessing a church.
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
I want to answer that question, though.
Yes,
you said,
go ahead.
How come people give money to the church?
Okay.
Well, number one, we talked about it, to spread the gospel. That's why we give. We love giving to the work of the Lord. We give to our ministry as well as
we've
always given to other ministry personally, as well as our ministry gives to other ministry, because that's valuable to
us.
Yes,
it is.
Number two, we give because we want to receive a harvest. We see it in the Word of God.
Amen.
Jesus told us in Luke chapter 6, verse 38, and I want to read the Passion translation
okay,
of that. It's a very familiar verse to most people.
Y'all excuse me for itch.
Ahead and blow it.
I mean, I had yellow stuff all
We're
over my...
We're tired of hearing you, right? Wipe it. Just
and
get
I mean,
it out.
And I mean, I walked out, I thought, boom.
Just get it out.
It's been you want me to blow my nose up?
No, I gave you a clean. Quit talking about it. Just get it out.
Okay, yeah, get it out. Get
okay.
it out.
Verse 38 says, give generously and get generous gifts will be given back to you, shaken down to make more room for more. Abundant gifts will pour out upon you with such an overflowing measure that it will run over the top. Your measurement of generosity becomes the measurement of your return. Now, these are the words of Jesus.
Amen. I mean,
the King James, you might be more familiar with, give and it shall be given back unto you, pressed down, shaken together, running over.
Right.
Good measure.
You see, now that's what Jesus says. Jesus was a giver.
Right.
Was he ever good? Oh, but he was poor. Well, let me ask you something. How can he give if he didn't have anything to give?
Jesus had a reputation of being a giver. We know that.
That's right.
Because at the Last Supper, when Judas got up to leave from the table to go somewhere, they didn't...
To
betray Jesus.
Betray Jesus.
The other disciples said, where is he going to give alms? He was the treasurer. He had the bag. They assumed he was going to give money. So that had to be their... the way they operated. If they saw a need, they helped, because he had people who gave to his ministry.
That's
Jesus
right.
had those women
that
supported him, that were
very wealthy people,
prosperous people. They gave time and time again.
Mary, Martha, and Lazarus.
God will get it to you because he wants to get it through you. We've heard that so many times. But this was the reason, the answer to the question, how come people give money to the church? Number one, they love to spread the gospel. That's what those women did. They loved
right.
the ministry of Jesus. They
wanted
to help.
Because it's valuable.
And it wasn't just Jesus, his 12 disciples, those 70 that went forth. All of those had needs. They had to be fed. They had to be housed. And what they were doing was very important business, kingdom business. So number one, they would spread the gospel. Number two, they wanted to receive a harvest. Jesus talked about, I just read the verse, how it's going to come back
given
to you.
Given, it shall be given unto you.
We've done whole teachings on that. And also...
Right.
In obedience to the Word of God. God tells us to be a giver. You know, it's a command, the command to tithe. He says, bring all the tithe into the storehouse so that there'll be meat in my house. And he says, prove me herewith, says the Lord of hosts, if I'll not open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing so great you won't even be able to hold it all.
That's correct.
And then he says he's going to rebuke the devourer for your sake. So it's a command from God to give.
There's been teachings out there saying you don't have to tithe. Let me look at me. I'm going to say something going to shock everybody. You don't even have to get saved. You don't have to do nothing. God gave you a free will. You see? But why would you do that? Why would you go to hell when you don't have to? People say, I don't believe in hell. That don't change it. That don't change it because you don't believe in it. Uh-uh. You're going to stand before God. Every atheist is going to stand before God whether they like it or not. I'm telling you, it's going to happen. You see, so when you understand why do people give the church, because they value the church.
Yeah.
They value the gospel.
What the church does.
Spiritual education. Notice when they begin to take prayer out of schools, you saw America's morality begin to do this. Just little things. People say, well, it's not that much. You know what I'm saying? Separation of church and state. That's not in the Constitution. That's in a letter, you know, that a president wrote. See what I'm saying? But I understand. I understand what people are trying to do. But my God, man, let me tell you something. God trusts you to give this house. The United States government don't trust you to pay your taxes. They tell your employer to take it out. And then if they think something's wrong with that, they'll come at you and audit you about something.
And they take out a whole lot more than 10%.
Oh, God, you better know it. Because you got to understand tithing, the reason why, I've said it so many times, I got to say it again. Tithing is not about money, it's about obedience.
That's true.
If tithing was about money, why hasn't God changed the rate? You know, the rate's been 10% for forever. The mortgage companies changed the rate. The car companies changed the rate. The credit cards company changed the rate. Because you know why? It's all about money. But it's not about money. It's about obedience. And God said, I'll rebuke the devourer for your sake. Do you understand what that means? Let me give you a true example of me. Not too long ago, I went to rebuke the devil because I was aggravated by what he was trying to do. And the Lord said, that's not your job, Jesse. You are tither. I rebuke the devil for your sake. Boy, I said, well, okay, do your job, Jesus. I just enjoyed that. That's my theme this year, you know, give God a job. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? And I feel love the Lord to say it right now. Maybe some of you want to become a partner. Many of you are partners that are watching. But if you'd like to be a partner, the amount is up to you. Just go to jdm.org. There's a donate button you can hit there. That's our website. You can give. You can use PayPal if you like. You can text to give a one-time donation or a recurring one if you want. You can use the JDM apps and select the giving you like, or you can mail in an old-fashioned donation. 100%. Listen to me. 100% goes into world evangelism. We've been debt-free since 1982. We got so many projects. You know, I mean, people love our ministry, and I don't mean that pridefully. We like to be a blessing. God, Kathy wants an event center, and that's going to cost about $8.5 million because she wants to be able to feed anywhere from 500 to 1,000 people.
When we have conferences, I don't want to have to be thinking about if we want to put on a banquet
right.
or something. Oh, we're limited on when we have to leave. No, if the Spirit of God is moving and we want to minister and fellowship together, I don't want to say, oh, we got to be out by 10 o'clock. No, we're going to stay.
I'm going to say something that may make somebody mad. We used to do a lot of, you know, we Cajun people, we love crawfish boils. I would buy tons of crawfish. We'd have 1,800, 2,000, 2,500 people show up at the church, and we'd have more crawfish, and they'd take, and as they were going home, they'd take a bag of it full. But I noticed it on Sunday, they didn't come.
Boy, they come out on. We did fish fries.
Fish, you name it, I did it.
Too.
And you know, and I got to thinking, I said,
festivals.
Lord, I don't mind buying the fish, frying the fish, crawfish balls, I don't know, whatever you want. But why don't they come? He said, because they're taking advantage of my goodness. He said, now do the same thing I did. So I quit doing crawfish balls and fish fries. Shut it down.
Yeah, and a lot of
a person asked me the other day, I just have to say it, how come you don't do those crawfish balls? I said, how come you don't come to church?
Yeah, that was someone who we hadn't seen in years.
Uh-huh. That's my point.
They just wanted, they're a bunch you of loafers, as
yeah.
you say.
Yeah, Jesus, you're following me for the fish and the loaves. They're loafers, you see. But it's just amazing what God will do. And God said, if you will give. And that's why people give the churches. They value it. They love their church.
That's right.
So you may think it's stupid because you don't. Well, can we think you're stupid for giving what you give? Oh, no, you wouldn't like that. That ain't right. That ain't right. Well, it ain't right what you're saying about the person that's giving to the church neither. Now, right. Put that in your pipe and smoke it. Like they say, you understand what I'm saying? It gets irritable to me. How many people is always judging somebody for something they don't
do? You know,
do.
I think a lot of the people that are watching us don't feel that way, but I think what we're saying today gives them information about how they can respond to people that may be approaching them about that similar subject. They're giving
right.
them answers.
Yeah, we're just trying to give you an answer.
Can I give you a good testimony?
Yes, indeed.
This
you
one
can.
Deals with giving, so I thought it would flow with this.
Oh, okay.
It's from Leah. Says, blessings from San Antonio, Texas.
I like San Antonio.
Praise report, exclamation point. God blessed me with supernatural favor at my job.
Praise
I
God.
Got promoted to full-time in 2 months in my own apartment. I can walk to and from work. So this is
a
such
blessing.
A blessing. You don't have to start somewhere. A lot of people just give up on life, but God always has a good plan for your life if you'll trust Him. If He'll get a seed to you, it
Let
may
me look
seem
at that.
Small
I'm
to you.
I'm gonna look at that.
It may seem small to you, but if you sow it where God tells you to and the amount he tells you to, you set yourself up for your own future increase and your own harvest.
Praise God.
And so she's starting to experience her harvest. I'm sure that's why she's writing.
Here's one from Hugo. I just love you guys with respect. I adore watching your programs. They are very encouraging to me and my family. Thank you for being so real and so humble and loving. God bless you from Mexico. I like that, Mexico. Steve says, thank you for praying for the complete manifestation of my healing. Your program was such a powerful encouragement. And I like what Janet said. Jesse's one of my favorite evangelists. I was just thinking, I hadn't seen or heard about him lately. So happy to see him now.
We've been everywhere. Where have you been?
We hadn't stopped. You may not recognize because my hair is so white. You know, I've been doing this a long, long time.
Since 1976.
Well, so have you.
Your first sermon was in 1976.
Yeah, the first week of January, 1976, I preached my first message. Mm-hmm. And I hadn't stopped since. It's just been such a blessing of the Lord. Thank you for tuning in today. I just wanted to talk about that little verse. It's such a powerful thing. And I believe we answered why people give the churches.
That's right.
And if you don't, then give to your church.
Spread the gospel.
Be a blessing.
To receive the harvest and in obedience to God's word. And because we love to give. We often have said that we're addicted to giving and God supports our habits.
That's exactly what I say. And a lot of people have stole that thing from me. I said that probably 40 years ago.
It's fun to give.
It's such a blessing. And, you know, and we bless a lot of other churches ourselves. And when you say to people, write me, say, well, send me some money. Well, I'm going to do what the Lord tells me to do. You got to understand that's God's money.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
We love to give to receivers, not to takers.
Yeah, I'm not. You can pick up on a taker in a second, but a receiver is one of the most wonderful people you'll ever want to meet because they have adopted God's act of giving. And they've adopted God's act of receiving.
Yeah.
I hope you learned something today. And thank you, partners, for all you do for this ministry.
And remember about the Visionary Conference. It's coming up.
In about a month.
Yeah.
It's such a blessing. And I want you to come if you can and to experience that anointing that is in this building. But we also have it on all our media platforms where you can watch it and you'll be blessed by it. You know, and the reason why I got to get off, I got to go do some more ministry somewhere. We're always doing that. And if I look a little tired, I mean, I preached twice. I mean, and I got back and I didn't sleep a lot. Hallelujah. In fact, you outslept me. I mean, I was in the chair and you just came walking down a little later.
I went to bed later than you.
You did.
I did.
I don't remember her coming to bed. We're constantly flying in late at night and all that kind of stuff. And it's such a blessing.
Yeah, let's give them the dates to the Visionary Conference again.
Let's put it up on the screen.
Well, I have it here on my computer because they didn't put it
July
up there.
July the 11th. Thursday night.
And July the 12th.
At 10 a.m. Friday morning, 7 p.m. Friday night. Registration is and admission is completely free.
Amen.
You'll be blessed. If it's crowded, stand up. Don't make no difference. Bring a friend, share a miracle. The Holy Ghost is going to get up and move and flow, and it will be a blessing. And I think somebody fell asleep in the
control room
because there ain't nothing moving on it. Hello there in the control room. I'm talking to my people. Hello. Praise God.
That's why I have my calendar here.
Thank you for doing that. Oh, here it comes. They woke up.
Hallelujah. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. What a blessing. It happens all the time.
It may not be that. Sometimes the teleprompter freezes.
Let's
give them the benefit of the doubt.
You know, some people, when they go for their wallet, they freeze.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. They got cirrhosis of the giver instead of the liver. You know?
But it brings such freedom to give. The people, there's such a warmness that comes when you give as the Lord prompts you to give.
Yeah, I said that in a message I preached one time.
I remember you said it was
I said, what's the difference between receiving and giving? When you receive, somebody give you something, you get excited. You go, oh, praise God, hallelujah. But when you give to something, there's a warmness that comes. That's the God thing.
Obedience to God.
Yeah, it is.
Amen.
Such a blessing. So till next week, Jesse and Kathy saying we love you. Thank you for watching our boardroom chats and all our social media platforms, as well as our broadcast television.
Yes.
See you next week. Bye-bye.